Okay, from the climate change, I'm going down to the actual field research project. Now, I would like to strongly acknowledge my co-authors here, doctors. Some of them are here, actually, doctors Sationo, Kenneth Kathman, Suat Irmak, Dr. Ferguson, and James Becht. Now, the motivation of this project comes from a project that was conducted by a group of researchers at the UNL, spearheaded by James Becht, that applying irrigation no earlier than R3 stage, which is the begin pod elongation in soybean, does not, in fact, have a negative impact in a fortuitous low rainfall season in Nebraska. Now, and those fortuitous low rainfall season occurred 2006 and 2007. Now, the question I have here then becomes, can soybean really maximize that soil water in the root zone with the defer all irrigation strategy to R3 stage? And also, there is a report by a group of Argentinian scientists that says that the downward extension of the soybean root system was shown to be linear. Now, this is an hourly monitoring by James Specht in 2007 in terms of soilmetric potential. In the y-axis here, there is your centibar units from 0 to 200, 0 being at field capacity, and as the value increases, the soil gets drier. And this is your day of the year. Now, the different lines here represents the different sensor placement. This one represents the 30 centimeter to 120 centimeter, which corresponds roughly to 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, and 4 foot layer in the soil profile. Now, it seems like there is a pattern of downward turn over the growing season. And my question was then, is this downward turn caused by any root activity? I would like to call that downward turn to be a depletion initiation. Now, if I call that depletion initiation, then at R3 stage, which is again the begin pod elongation in soybean, there had already been a depletion at the third foot, and right after R3 stage, depletion already happened at the fourth foot. The objective of this study includes to measure soybean rooting depths within the 2 years from last year to this year of different rainfall pattern, and to see if there is a relation between the rooting pattern and again that soil water depletion initiation, and to determine if there could be a predictable relationship of between the above ground shoot and the below ground root phenology. One of the approaches we use is the use of a moisture resistance method, and this is the watermark sensor. In fact, this has been slowly adapted to the progressive farmers in Nebraska. This watermark sensor consists of this granular matrix sensor here that's attached to a PVC pipe of different length to allow to install it at different depth in the soil, and it's monitored with the data logger. Another approach is the use of mini rhizotron method. Mini rhizotron consists of this acrylic tube that is installed at a 30-degree angle right here, as an example. And we monitor the roots regularly, possibly twice a week to once a week, depending on the weather. The first year, we used the BARTS technology, which has a very high-resolution imaging. And in the second year, we use the CID bioscience technology that is called the CI600 root scanner, which for my application it works better because I could image roots in a faster way, so I could save time in the field. The approaches is not limited to the mini rhizotron method, but we also did a supplemental root examination in the field. We dig soil pit and manually observe the roots carefully in the soil. So the project was conducted in Lincoln using a variety of P93M11 with population of 20 plants per meter of row in a 30 by 30 inch row spacing. we used a 1.6 meter long tube that was inserted through hydraulic probe. And note that we only have a 1.2 meter maximum observation depth because it was installed at an angle. Then we use watermark sensors that corresponds to 15 to 120 centimeter depths. Again, it's 6 inch, 12, 1.5 up to 4 foot here. Now, in 2009, it was planted early in May 1, and also in 2010, in April 28. We used 15 acrylic tubes in 2009. We increased it to 18 in 2010. We have two sets of sensors that comprise these different depths of installation. In 2009, and we've increased it to 6 in 2010. And I used a software called RootFly, which is available online. And in 2010, I used the University of Texas Health Sciences image tool. And here, I would like to show you also layout in 2009 right here, and also here in 2010. And I would like to show you a little bit of a closer look of how it was installed. Each tube was covered with PVC pipes with different sensors here also. Now, come to the first result of this study. The y-axis here is the depth of the soil, and then this is the days after emergence. The characterization of the root was classified into three levels. The first one was the taproot tip extension, this one, which corresponds to this data set right here. Then the next one is that the first 5 millimeter of branching just behind the taproot, which corresponds to this data here. And then the third one is the deepest 2 millimeter tertiary root that branch out from the secondary root, which corresponds to this data here. Now, the data seems to follow a certain distance, especially the secondary root and the tertiary root. It seems like there is a distance from the taproot tip extension. Note that at our three stage, again, we've realized that, in fact, the soybean root has already proliferated within the rooting zone of 1 meter, for example. That's what we use in irrigation. Now, in 2010, we used the same strategy, except that we are using the CI600 root scanner. This is, again, the taproot tip right here, which corresponds to this data. This is the 5 millimeter secondary branch here, and again, the 2 millimeter tertiary root right here. And now what I'm seeing here is it validates my hypothesis that there could be a predictable distance among the three parameters that I set. Now, if you extend this line right here, you would notice that this would intersect the date at which the soybean was planted. Again, at R3 stage, it seems like soybean root has already started proliferating within the rooting zone. Well, I have a maximum observation depth right here. And it seems like even after R3, the linearity of these different parameters have continued. And I was wondering what happened to R6 at the full seed field. So in my supplemental root observation, it seems like beyond the starting of the seed field at R5, up to R6, it's the linearity of the root growth continued. And this is very promising because we thought that at R5, the root growth follows a pattern of the plant height in which it diminishes, the plant height diminishes at R5. Now, what happened if I compared the root growth between 2 years, 2009 and 2010, let me just follow the cursor here. This is the primary root that I was, the taproot tip extension. This is the 5 millimeter secondary root, and this is a 2 millimeter tertiary root of 2009. And the same here, the broken line represents a 2010. It seems like there is a slowing rate of extension. And for some reason, I could only think of one thing. In 2010, there was a twofold increase of rainfall, as you may have noticed in the Midwest. And so, again, within the 2 years, the soybean root has already proliferated within 1 meter root zone approximately. Now, if I compare soil water depletion pattern between the soil water depletion pattern and the root growth, in 2009, right here, this is the depth and this is the days after emergence, it seems like the initiation of the water depletion follows right after the presence of the taproot tip. Now, if I use soil water depletion as a relative apparent rooting depth in 2009, I could probably do that for an easier measure of taproot tip extension. However, in 2010, it seems like everything is just deferred away from the taproot tip extension. And if you see at the rainfall pattern right here, there is a twofold increase. I could imagine right after this date right here, this is only in a matter of less than 1 week. In fact, we've received 10 inches of rainfall at a time. Now, I would like to relate the rooting pattern and the above ground phenology and the below ground phenology. The above ground phenology has a is triphasic. You have a phase here from emergence to the V1, and you have the V1 to the V stage where R5 occurred and onwards here. Now, also, it has the same pattern also for the 2010. And what is interesting really here also is that this follows the result of Bastida's paper published in 2008 that the node appearance is, in fact, every 3.5 days for 2 consecutive years. And when you look at this pattern here, it's triphasic, but the root actually continued to be linear up until R6, as I mentioned earlier. Now, in summary, the soybean taproot tip extension was linear for both years. However, there was a little bit different in terms of the extension rate. With lower rainfall in 2009, it seems like the depletion follows the taproot tip presence. And in 2010, it seems like it's delayed also, maybe because of the longer exposure to saturation. And the vegetative stage, as I said, the rate is triphasic and the root is linear. Thank you.
Time for one question. If you happen to look at soil temperatures between the 2 years and see if there are any differences there, I would assume.
We have actually a sensor for soil temperature too, but the differences of temperature is only at the top layer. And the rest is just so uniform. So we don't see that as a factor in the taproot tip extension. But I would like to see that as well, hopefully.
One more question, Steve.
Could you describe the soil profile in terms of
texture? The soil profile actually is, it is a deep soil. It's a silty clay loam, roughly, over the along the soil profile. It's a cannabic silty clay loam.